Have you ever felt shameful or embarrassed? Shameful, embarrassed of things that you're struggling with, some sins of your past or current sins that you are doing? Maybe you have a porn addiction. Or maybe you're dealing with drugs or alcohol. Maybe you have no self-control. You just lash out and start cursing. You ever felt embarrassed and shameful of that you want help, you know you need help, but you're too scared to ask for help? You're scared to ask for help because you don't know how people will respond. You're scared of how people will look at you, what they'll think of you. So instead of asking for help, you decide to hide it. You keep it hidden. And because you're keeping it hidden, you know there's something wrong. You know you need help, but you're too afraid to ask. You're too afraid of what people will say. So you feel separated from God's people. You feel separated from God himself. There's this miracle in the Bible, this powerful miracle, known as the healing of the bleeding woman. And I don't want to focus necessarily on the miracle itself, but the woman. Because she understands what it means to hide. She understands what it means to be feeling that shame, that embarrassment, having to be isolated from other people. So let's go ahead and start reading this. In Luke chapter 8, we're going to read the 40 through 43. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. So we're introduced to the story with a man named Jairus, who's a ruler of the synagogue. And in this moment, he is desperate. He is needing his 12-year-old daughter who is dying. He wants to save her. So it doesn't matter his position in the synagogue. He comes running to Jesus, falling on his knees, falling at Jesus' feet, imploring him, begging him, please save my 12-year-old girl. And Jesus agrees and they're going. But now everybody's seeing the Messiah. Everyone's seeing the Son of God, the prophet. They want to talk to him. They want to see the miracles. So they're surrounding him, bumping into him. And the story changes perspective onto another woman who's not 12 years old, but rather has been bleeding for 12 years. And it says to her, and we don't even know her name. It just says the bleeding woman. And all we know about her is that she's been bleeding for 12 years and she has spent everything she has just to be healed on all the doctors, all the physicians, and nothing is working. For 12 years she has been bleeding. But what does this mean? What does this mean in the Jewish society? What's the big deal about this? Well, in Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25, it says, if a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the discharge she shall continue in uncleanness, as in the days of her impurity, she shall be unclean. We begin reading Leviticus, understanding that if you have a bleeding, and while you're bleeding, you're considered unclean until it stops. But we read about this woman, it has been 12 years. It has not stopped for 12 years. For those 12 years, she has been considered unclean. Verse 26 then says, every bed on which she lies, all the days of her discharge shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. And everything on which she sits shall be unclean, as in the uncleanness of her menstrual impurity. And whoever touches these things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. We then read in the next part of the Leviticus law that while she's considered unclean, everything that she sits on, everything that she lies on is also considered unclean. And if you touch her or you sit on what she sat on or lie on the bed that she lied on, you are also considered unclean. To put it in today's perspective, I'm sure we all remember COVID. If you had COVID, you were locked away. You were isolated. No one would go near you. Everyone would avoid you because they don't want to catch it. It's the same thing here. She is isolated. She is put away because no one wants to go near her because they don't want to be unclean either. Now with COVID, what? It was a few days, a week, maybe 2 weeks. You're isolated. No one will come near you. 12 years. 12 years she had to stay away from people. Think about that mentally, what that would do to you. 12 years you couldn't be with your family. 12 years you couldn't be with your friends. 12 years you couldn't even come worship God. 12 years she was considered contagious. Verse 28 then says, "But if she is cleansed of her discharge, she shall count for herself 7 days. And after these 7 days, she shall be clean. And on the 8th day, she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons and bring them to the priest to the entrance of the tent of meeting. And the priest shall use one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for her unclean discharge." So now we have the idea that once she is made clean, she's supposed to be bringing either 2 pigeons or 2 turtle doves, and the priest shall make it as sacrifice. Now, in the New Century Version of the Bible, I like the wording they use here. They use the word, once she's made clean again, she can belong to the Lord again. In the ESV, it says, make an atonement to God again. Now, while she's bleeding, she's not sinning, of course. But while she's bleeding, she can't be with God's people. While she's bleeding, she can't come into the temple to worship God. I don't know about you guys, but I feel if I had that for 12 years, if I couldn't come into worship God, if I couldn't be around anybody, I would feel like I don't belong to anyone. I would feel like I don't belong to God. Imagine not being able to worship here this morning for 12 years. Nowhere for 12 years. Not being around your church family for 12 years. See, this woman, she must have been feeling the belief that she belongs to no one. The NCV is saying, then they can belong to the Lord again. Because she feels separation from God and his people. So let's keep reading this miracle. In verse 44, she came up behind him, the bleeding woman, came up behind him, Jesus, and touched the fringe of his garment. And immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowd surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that the power has gone out from me." She's desperate. She is desperate just to be healed. Remember, we read earlier in the miracle that all we know about her is that she has spent all of her money just to be fixed, and nothing worked. And we read in Leviticus that she needs to be isolated away from everybody, but that doesn't matter right now. She sees Jesus. She knows he can heal. So she goes through the crowd just to touch his garment. She is desperate just to be made whole. So she does that bold move. She moves forward and she is instantly healed. It used the word immediately. The bleeding stopped. And what I like is that Jesus then says, "Someone touched me, for I perceive the power has gone out from me. Who was it that touched me?" I believe Jesus does already know who touched him. I don't believe this was just out of curiosity. I believe this was purposefully. Which then raises the question, why is it? Why is it he wants to know who touched him when he already knows who did it? Well, let's keep reading. verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And Jesus, and he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." That strikes my heart, because we see that she is frozen in fear. It says she comes trembling. Remember, she's been hiding, isolating herself for 12 years, and now Jesus is calling her out. She realized she was not hidden. She came trembling before him because he called her out. And he responded with grace. Think about it. She just touched the Son of God, the garment. And she's living in the Jewish culture where she knows if she touches anyone, they are considered unclean. So how do you think she believes he will respond to her? She probably thinks that he will rebuke her, be angry at her, be mad at her. "You touched me. Why did you make me unclean?" But instead, he responds with grace. Instead, he restores her identity. Like I said earlier, for 12 years, she had no one. For 12 years, she was no one. She belonged to no one. But Jesus says no. Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." He doesn't rebuke her. He's not angry with her. He doesn't look at her with shame. He looks at her as she is his, as she is his daughter. The three things I want to get out of this lesson. The first thing is Jesus is the great physician. We read in Luke 8, verse 43, it says, "And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she cannot be healed by anyone. No one can heal her but Jesus." No one can heal her but Jesus, because Jesus is the great physician. As it says in Jeremiah 17:4, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." Exodus 15, "I am the Lord, your healer." In Luke 5, "And Jesus answered them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" He is the great physician. Now, I want to clarify something. I'm not saying you don't go to doctors. I'm not saying you don't go to therapists if that's what you need. But what I want us to understand is that all the medication, all the doctor, all the therapy you can go for, if it helps you, if it heals you, it is Jesus working. Because earthly things have their limits. As it says in Isaiah, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots, because they are many in the horsemen, because they are very strong. But do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord." Isaiah, he's saying, you guys are all going to Egypt. You're looking at Egypt with all the materials they have. They have the horses. They have the chariots. But you don't even look to the Lord. With every single battle David won, was it David or was it God? With everything that Moses did in the wilderness, was it Moses or was it God? With all the doctors we can go to, the medicine we can go through, we can be thankful it helps us, but we need to remember it was God. Because earthly help has its limits. Because Jesus restores the soul. Medicine and therapy may help you with the body, but no amount of medicine, no amount of doctors, and no amount of therapists can fix your soul for salvation other than Jesus. As it says in 1 Peter, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might not die to sin and live to righteousness, but his wounds you have been healed." Jesus is the great physician. And this woman knows that. She spent everything on all the worldly doctors. Nothing worked. She is broke. She has nothing. but all it took was just touching his garment, and she was instantly healed. Second point I want to make today, come out of your hiding to find healing. Earlier in the beginning of the sermon, I mentioned how a lot of times we can feel shame and embarrassed that we don't want to tell people what we're struggling with. We don't want to tell people our sins. This woman felt that. She was full of shame. She had to hide herself. She had to isolate herself. She had to keep herself from other people. But then she comes to Jesus, and Jesus says in Luke chapter 8, "And when the woman saw she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed." She realized she wasn't hidden. Jesus was calling her out. Jesus knows who touched him, but he wants her to come forward. He wants her to tell him what's wrong. And it says that she declared and explained everything that's been going on, and how she was healed. God's love is greater than our shame. A lot of times we may feel that we are full of shame, we are embarrassed, but we need to understand that embarrassment is not greater than the love God will have for you. God wants you to come out of hiding. He wants you to come to him. Why do you think Jesus called her out? Did Jesus want her to stay hidden, feel like, oh, you don't, you know, stay hidden, don't tell me what's wrong? No, Jesus said, who touched me? Tell me what's wrong. So he wants us to bring it all. I'm a sinner, we all are sinners. He wants us to bring it to him, and he's not going to reject us. He's not going to reject us. Instead, he's going to respond with compassion. He's going to respond with grace. In this case, he responded saying, daughter, your faith has made you well. Psalm 34 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 32, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you, and you did not cover my iniquities. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquities of my sin. There are well over 400 people in this room, so I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for myself. I can speak for the other evangelists, for the elders, and for what this church stands for, that if you are in shame, if you are in sin, we want you to tell us. We're not going to reject you. We're not going to yell at you or be angry at you, but we're going to welcome you with open arms because we want you to be healed like Jesus welcomed her with open arms. So come out of hiding and to find that healing like that woman did. And the final point is that she was restored by faith. As it says in the end of verse 48, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Her faith has made her well. Faith is the idea of having complete and utter total trust. In this case, having complete and utter total trust in God, in Jesus. My friend Samuel Snead talked about faith with Abraham, and he did a really good job on that. But he talked about how she understood, she believed. With her mind, she knew who this man was. She knew he could heal her. She believed with her mind. And because she believed, she had trust in her heart. She trusted that she can be healed by him. Think about the amount of trust she must have in this moment. Like we said many times already, that she spent everything on a physician. She's been through it for 12 years. She tried over and over again, but she had trust. She believed that this one is going to heal her. And because of that, she acted. She went through the crowds. knowing how they may look at her, knowing what they may say to her, but she doesn't care in this moment. She had belief, she had trust, and she acted on it just to touch his garment. She had complete and utter trust in God. We need to reach out to Jesus, and we need to respond to the gospel. Do you have complete and utter trust that his word, this word, everything he says in here, that this will save you? Do you believe it? Do you trust in your heart? And if you do, act upon it. Do what he says to do. As it says in Hebrews 11:1, no faith is the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. James 2:17, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You can say you have faith, but if you don't act upon that faith, it's pointless, it's worthless, it's dead. 2 Corinthians, for we walk by faith, not by sight. She was restored by faith. She went from shame to becoming a daughter. Jesus is the great physician. Jesus will welcome us with open arms. He wants us to come out of hiding for that we can be fully healed in here. Nothing from this earth can save me from death other than him. Nothing on this earth can give me salvation other than him. So I need to come out of hiding. We need to come out of hiding and come to him for that he can heal us. And with that, we need to have complete and utter faith like that woman had. 12 years. 12 years she had nobody. 12 years she was isolated. 12 years she was in pain. But she knew he could heal her. She knew. If you want to close your notes, Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, but now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it says, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This woman had no one. This woman was in pain. She isolated herself. She was in shame. And do we not do the same thing? We don't want to come forward and ask for help because we're full of shame. Remember, she came trembling, falling at his feet when he said, come forward. And he responded with love and compassion, not hate. He responded telling her, you are my daughter. I am his son. You are his daughter and you are his son. And he wants us to come to him. He wants us to be healed, but we need to act on it like that woman did. So if you want to be healed, if you are broken and you want to be helping, you want to be saved, and you want to get the love and compassion to be called his daughter and son, we invite you to come up as we stand and sing.